Henry. Nice to meet you. My name's Harry. It's great to be here. Okay, so thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. Hey, who loves all of your kids' leaders? Who loves your kids' leaders? On the count of three, we need to give our kids' leaders a lot of love because they're amazing. Ready? One, two, three. Yay! Man, I'm so grateful for you, Lionel. So grateful for your team. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm so excited. And lastly, I've got to thank two very special people that aren't here. Two very special people that without them, I wouldn't be here with you tonight. And so I want you to help me show some love to my senior pastors, John and Gillian Cameron, who created an environment like this for me. When I was a little bit older than you, I found myself in worship and I lifted up my hands and I felt God's presence for the first time. Since that moment, my life has never been the same. And I want to give them a massive round of applause. And I wondered if you could help me. And I wonder if we could give them such a loud round of applause that in Wellington they could hear you tonight. What do you reckon? You reckon we could do that? All right, on the count of three, ready? One, two, three. So good. Well, hey, tonight I thought that I'd show you a picture. Would that be okay? Now, this is a picture of me and my fiance. We got engaged and she's got cooties. She's got girl cooties. And you got to pray for me, okay? Because I don't want to get cooties, okay? You got to pray for me. But this is my fiance, Annalise, and she's amazing. And this is me standing on some rocks and being real Moana-y. And is it, and is it, and is it, and it finds me. I can't sing like Moana, okay? I'm sorry. But she's amazing. This is a photo of us. We're getting married in 15 weeks. We're going to be married. I can't wait. I know you can give God some praise and thank him for me that I found someone that would put up with me, you know. But tonight, we're going to read from the Bible. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in the book of John, which book?
John.
Chapter 16, which chapter?
16.
Verse 33, it says this. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Because I have overcome the world. 1 Corinthians, someone say 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians.
Someone say it louder. 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians.
Chapter 9, which chapter?
Chapter.
Verse 24, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Someone say win.
Win.
Turn to your neighbor and say win. Turn to your other neighbor and say, win.
Win.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, right now.
Right now.
Tonight, I wanna share a thought with you, and whether you're sitting on this side or whether you're sitting on this side or whether you're sitting right there, I need you to make sure that you're listening because I reckon that God is going to do something special tonight. Put up your hand if you think so. Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Does that sound like a good idea? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to close your eyes so that you don't get distracted. I want you to bow your heads so that you show God that you're ready to pray. Father, I thank you that you're here. God, I pray that you would move. I pray for peace in this room. I declare every distracted heart settled in Jesus' name. I declare every ear opened. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Okay, hands up if you have an electronic device at home. Okay, hands up, keep your hand up, keep your hand up if you've got an electronic device at home, but you're under the age of 12. Okay, all of you are privileged. I tell you what, you're all privileged. Put your hands down. I am saddened by this news because when I was your age, okay, hand up if you've got an electronic device and you're under the age of 12. Okay, how old are you? You're 10. When I was 10, I had a rock to play with. His name was Rocky, and he was cute. Rocky the Rock, and he was cute. Well, he rocked. I should have said that. That was way better. High five. That was a good joke. You can say that later. Now, hands down, because when I was your age, I didn't have an electronic device. I had to wait until I was 12 years old, and I saved up all of my pocket money. I saved it all. I put it in a piggy bank, and the pig got so fat that it smashed. I was like, yeah. I put all my money in a piggy bank, and I had to wait until the age of 12. How old? Until I was 12 years old to buy my very first gaming console, and it was an Xbox original. Old school, man. Old school. I saved up my pocket money. The thing is that back in those days, when you bought the console, you didn't get any games. So you had to save up your money. So I just had an Xbox, and I just used to look at it because I didn't have any games. This is so much fun. So I saved up all my pocket money, and I saved and saved and saved and saved and saved and saved and saved, and I bought my very first Xbox game, and that game was Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot, yeah! I love Crash Bandicoot. I love it. It's a mint game. Best game in all of Crash Bandicoot. It's the best game. I love that game so much. It's so awesome. The only problem with the game is that I'm not very good at it. I'm a disgrace. I need to pray and ask God for forgiveness. I was like so bad at this game, but it was so fun, and I'd spend so much time trying to win at this game. What I would do was I would stay up all night, which you shouldn't do. You should go to bed and obey your parents, but I was a naughty boy. I stayed up all night and I played the game trying to figure out how to win. I went to school, and instead of learning about maths, because maths is hard, I learned about nothing because I was trying to win the game. I was thinking about how I could win. At dinner time, I was trying to eat my dinner and I brought the food to my mouth and was like, and all the food would fall back out because I was trying to figure out how to win this game. I was struggling to win this game. It was such a good game, but it was hard. But I kept going so that I could win. Now, for those of you who don't know what Crash Bandicoot is, let me give you a summarized Harry version, okay? Now, like any good game, there's a bad guy, because you need a bad guy to beat up, eh? You need to have a bad guy to beat up. So the bad guy in Crash Bandicoot is a guy named Dr. Cortex. Now, Dr. Cortex, like every bad guy, he wants to take over the world. His plan is to create an army. Good plan so far. He creates an army, but he creates them out of rodents. Time out. That's a mouse. That's a rat. A raccoon. Like what? Okay, you're gonna take over the world with mice? The little you know, so, I don't know what that was. That was not a mouse. It's like his plan is to create an army of mice and they're gonna take over the world. I was like, time out, this guy needs a better animal. Like, surely an elephant. Like, get a mutated army of elephants or lions or something. Something with a bit of teeth. Scary, scary animals. But no, he chose mice. Anyway, moving on. This is where Crash Bandicoot comes in. Because Crash Bandicoot is a bandicoot, which is an animal. And what Dr. Cortex does is he mutates him. But the thing is that Crash Bandicoot, then by science, is the smartest, the strongest, the bravest animal that Dr. Cortex has. But that's an issue, right? Because he's so smart that he outsmarts Dr. Cortex and he runs away. He runs away from Dr. Cortex. Until one moment, plot twist, where Dr. Cortex steals his girlfriend. Ooh, no, he didn't. He stole his girlfriend. So now Crash Bandicoot's whole mission is to defeat Dr. Cortex by running through different levels, avoiding obstacles, all to try and save the world and his girlfriend. And here I am playing this game and it's really hard, okay? Now, when I think about this game, it makes me think about two Bible verses. How many? Two Bible verses. The first one is in the book of Jeremiah. Which book?
Jeremiah.
Chapter 29. Which chapter? 11. Now, you may have heard this verse before, but it goes like this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. See, kids, I want you to know that God's plan for your life is a good plan. God has a plan for you. It's to prosper you. What does that mean? It's good stuff. God's got a good plan for your life. God wants you to be a winner. God wants you to not lose, but he wants you to win. God's plan is for good things, and God has a plan for your life. What's his plan? Well, his plan is to have a relationship with you. And that's a good plan. And God's plan is a good plan because it's got God in it. See, now God's plan for your life is that you would win. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So, run to win. In other words, we're all playing in this game of life. But God, he doesn't want us to just do life. He wants us to win at life. I think that's a pretty good thing. I think that's awesome that God, he wants you to be a winner. God, he wants you to run to win. And it's just the same as Crash Bandicoot. See, when I'm playing this game of Crash Bandicoot, I'm out there like, wow! You know, like, does that look like Crash Bandicoot? No, okay, no, I tried. Pray for me. Okay, so Crash Bandicoot, you're running around like Crash Bandicoot, dodging all these obstacles. Oh, this is tiring. And as you're running, you come up against all these obstacles. The first one you come up against is this green nitro box. And you come up against this nitro box. Now, the thing you need to know about this nitro box is that this nitro box, when you hit it, it explodes. Not this one. This is fake. Thank you, Jesus. But when you hit this nitro box in the game, it takes away your life. Now, for us, this nitro box represents sin. And sin, when we run into sin, it takes away the life that God has for us. See, the reason why is because God and sin, they don't mix. God can't be where sin is. Now, you might be like, well, Harry, what is sin? Well, sin is the Christian word that we use for all the bad things in the world. Every bad thing that might happen to you, through you, or in you is called sin. All the lying, all the gossiping, all the bullying at school, all the stealing, all the vandalism, all the bad stuff. That's sin. And the thing is that in life, sin will try and stop you from having a relationship with your Savior. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that we avoid these obstacles and we run to... run to win. Okay. Now, the thing is that we can't win with sin in our life. So running to win is to run without sin. So we've got to make sure that we don't have any sin in our life. Now, the thing is that there's another box that we have to try and avoid. So we're running around. Wah! Wah, yeah, wah! Just being all Crash Bandicoot, karate chopping some fools. While we're running around, there's this TNT box. Ooh. Now the thing is that with this box, this one's tricky. Because when you hit it, it counts down. It's like, bop, 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 boof, and you're dead. You have to be careful with this box. You get to run away, but sometimes you can't run away from it. And this box, for us, represents what we would call small sin. Small sin. Sin's like, oh, like a little white lie. It's okay because there's only $5 out of mum's purse. It's okay. Oh, yeah. When my fiance asks me, do I look fat in this? And I say, no. That's a lie. You know, that's a sin. Now, the thing is that we have to be careful because with this sin, if we're not careful, it can blow up in our face when we least expect it. Now, the thing is that the Bible, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. Well, that means that to God, a white lie or a lie that's a little lie, and to God, murder is the same thing. God looks at all sin equally, and that's kind of like, that's heavy, bro. That's a bit full on. And as a band come and join me, it can kind of be like, well, with all this sin, with all this stuff that we have to try and avoid, how do we overcome it? How do we get to run to win if there's all this sin that we have to try and avoid? As the band come and join me. Now, when you're running around in this game, what happens is that you're in this game, right? What's the name of the game? Oh, sorry, it's getting hot. I'm forgetting. It's getting hot up here. Woo! Now, as I'm running around in this game, there's this other box that I find. So I'm being careful. When I'm running around, I'm being careful, right? I'm like, avoiding all this sin. Leapfrog. Woo! And so running around, I'm avoiding all this stuff. I'm not doing anything wrong.
I'm not
I'm trying to not sin. I'm trying to be a good boy. Oh, sorry. These socks are 2 days old. Don't smell my feet too bad. I'm running around, right? I'm trying to avoid all the sin, but I keep losing life because I keep running into the sin. And as I'm running around, I come across this other box. And inside this box is a thing. Booga booga. It's an aku aku mask. Now, the thing about this mask is that as I run around with it, while I'm wearing this wooden mask, I am invincible. That means that there's no nitro boxes, there's no TNT boxes that can stop me. I can run into whatever obstacle that comes my way and I'm protected, but the condition is that it's not permanent. What does that mean? It only lasts for a little bit. Now, the thing is though, is that sometimes we're like, booga booga, run, 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 quick, 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 oh no, bang. Because it only works for a little bit of time. For us, in our life, we too have a wooden object, but it's not a mask, it's a cross. And on that cross, the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God, came down to earth to die for all of the sin, to die for all of the bad things in the world, to die for everything that might happen to you, in you, or through you. Jesus, the Son of God, came down and hung on a cross and took all of the bad stuff with him. And when he died, the Bible says that he went to the grave. But what's amazing is that Jesus, the Bible says, didn't stay dead. He rose again 3 days later. And when he rose again, do you want to know what happened? He took all of the sin on the cross. He went down into the grave. And when he rose again, he left all of that sin behind, dead. He killed all the bad stuff and he rose again. And when he rose again, what he did was he brought with him new life. He brought with him an opportunity for us to not have a temporary wooden mask that we have to try and hide behind for our protection, but he brought with him life and life to the full. See, the Bible says that in John chapter 16, 33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, that's Jesus, not me, I haven't come. But Jesus says, I have overcome the world." Friend, I want you to know that running to win is running with our eyes focused on Jesus. If you want to run to win, kids' conference, all you have to do is every day keep your eyes focused on Jesus. See, Jesus, the Bible says, overcame the world. Do you want to know what the world is? The world is full of sin. It's full of sin. But you know what? The Bible tells me that if I keep my eyes focused on Jesus, if I keep my eyes focused on who?
Jesus.
If I keep my eyes focused on who?
Jesus.
I can run to win. You know, I've got a favorite story in the Bible. Who has a favorite story in the Bible? I've got a favorite story. It's about a guy whose name is Peter. Now, Peter was a fisherman. But Jesus sees Peter one day and he's like, "Peter, come with me. You won't fish for fish anymore, but you'll fish for men. You'll be a fisherman." You didn't know that was under there, would you? What happened was that Peter and the rest of Jesus's gang jumped on a boat. But Jesus was like, "Yo, I'm gonna go up that mountain. I'm gonna go pray while you guys sail across on the Inter-Islander." And so what happens is that all the disciples, they jump on a boat. Onward. Arg. Nah. Captain Feathersword was there. No jokes, he wasn't there. What happens is all the disciples are on a boat, but do you want to know what happens? Out of nowhere, a storm. And so all of a sudden, all the disciples were on the boat in the middle of a storm. Woo! They were on a storm! And it was windy and it was rainy. Have you ever been in rain that's horizontal? Like rain normally falls this way. Well, in this storm, it was a typical day in Wellington. Rain was going this way. In my eyes, I can't see. The wind was going up their nose, I can't breathe. The waves were making them feel sick. One of the disciples is like, "Ah! Oh my gosh! It's a ghost! Ah!" And this ghost, the Bible says that this ghost, while all the disciples were in the boat, started walking towards them. But it was a storm, right? So it wasn't just walking normally. It was a storm. It's a big storm, right? So this guy's in the storm, you know? And he's like, "Yo! What's up, dude? Surf's up, man." And the disciples, they're all on the boat. And the ghost, woo, "Yo, chillax, my bro." He's like, "It's not a ghost. It's me, your boy Jesus." And everybody on the boat is like, "Ah! The ghost's name is Jesus." "No, my name is Jesus. That is my name. But I am actually Jesus." And all the disciples were like, "Ah!" And the Bible says that all the disciples ran to the other end of the boat. "Ah!" All the disciples, apart from one. See, what happened is, Peter stayed at the front of the boat. He was like, "If you're really Jesus, tell me to walk on the water with you." And Jesus, he's like, "Totally, bro." Jesus is like, "Yeah. Come on then." And Peter, the Bible says that Peter, he climbed out of the boat. I've got my preaching undies on, so I can't quite reach. Just imagine, use your imagination, that Peter, he gets out of the boat, and with his eyes fully fixed on Jesus. Remember, the rain is going horizontal. Can't see. The wind is going up his nose. Can't breathe. The waves are going crazy. Can't stand still. But the Bible says, are you getting this? Are you looking? Because this is really important. The Bible says that Peter begins to walk on the water. In other words, what Peter did, only Jesus and one other person has ever done in history. Walk on the water. Like, I don't know if you've ever tried this. Like, I've tried walking on the water. All I get is a tog wedgie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm running in. Ah! But the Bible says that Peter walks on the water. Peter is able to live a miraculous life. Why? Because he keeps his eyes fixed on Jesus. Because when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you inherit what he did on that cross, meaning that you get to borrow, you get to have, you get to keep that life and life to the full. So no matter what sin comes your way, it's not a temporary mask that you need to hide behind, but it's a cross that you wear on the inside of you. And when you see sin, you're like, nah, I don't need that today because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. When it comes to telling a lie, you're like, nah, I don't need to lie today because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. When it comes to stealing your mum's money, you don't have to steal your mum's money because you're like, I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus. When it comes to being the bully in the playground, you don't have to be the bully in the playground because you can keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. The thing is, though, is that Peter had a choice to focus on Jesus and to be bold and courageous and do something no one has ever done before. And in this place, on the opening night of Kids Conference 2018, on the very first Kids Conference of 2018 and of all time, I'm going to give you the same opportunity to say, you know what, Harry? If the Bible says that God wants me to win, and the way that I win is by looking at Jesus, well, then I want to do that. I want to be someone who says, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. See, it comes with a choice, and the choice is yours to make. You get to make the choice. And in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you that opportunity. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to close our eyes so that it's a private moment between me, you, and God. And we're going to bow our heads again so that we show God we're ready to pray. I'm nearly done. I'm nearly out of time. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take this next few minutes and I'm going to give you the opportunity to say, Harry, I want Jesus in my life. So with every eye closed, every eye. The cool thing about being on stage is I can see you if your eyes aren't closed. But I'd love to see no eyes open right now. I'd love this to be a private moment between me, you, and God. I'd love to have a moment right now with every eye closed and every head bowed. I'd like to take a moment and ask you a real simple question. Do you have Jesus in your life? If your answer is no, we can fix that tonight. We can, in one moment, go from not having our eyes fixed on Jesus to having our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, do you know what happens? The same Jesus that overcomes the world comes into our life, and we too can overcome whatever obstacles are in our way. No matter how big the sin is or how small the sin is, God sees it all the same. And the one act of Jesus on that cross is the one act that overcomes it all. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. And I want you to, if you're saying, Harry, tonight, I want to accept Jesus as my best friend. I want to accept him as my Lord, my Savior. I want to run to win tonight. I want my life to never be the same. Well, then what we're going to do is on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. Not yet, but on the count of three, just so I know who I'm praying for. But again, please close your eyes because this is a bit of a nervous moment for some people because this is the moment that your life will be changed forever. One, you're going to lift your hand. If you're saying, Harry, I've never prayed a prayer, asking God to come and be my best friend, asking him to be my Lord and my Savior. Two, maybe you prayed this prayer ages ago, but you're like, you know what, Harry? I've taken my eyes off Jesus and I'm not running to win. Remember, running to win is to run without sin. And tonight we're having an opportunity to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. Three, why don't you lift your hand right now if that's you? Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. From the front to the back, to the left to the right. A generation is saying, tonight, I don't want to be the same way that I came in. Tonight, I can still see hands going up. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. If that's you and your hand's not up yet and you're saying, you know what, Harry, I want that hand. I want that decision. I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. So many hands. This is amazing, amazing. You can put your hands down. And you can open your eyes and you can look at me. And what I want you to do right now is give every person, including yourself, if you lifted your hand up, a massive cheer. One, two, three, right now. Give them a massive round of applause. This is amazing. Wow. I reckon 95% of the room just said yes to Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand to our feet right now. We're going to